Nintendo doesn't have unlimited resources, so they announced the Nintendo 2DS XL, and 3D gaming has gone away. Plus, the Vintage Computer Festival Southeast was this weekend. Tonight is April 30th, 2017, and the Bobby Blackwell Show featuring your calls and chat comments is up next. So you would say even if okay, I'll let you go. You talk. Wow, what happened to your voice? Thank you, Skype. So video games, that's what the show is about.
This is that one Akia Ripper from Sweden.
And what's with all the Halo hate, Bob? You've been hating on Halo a lot lately.
I just don't like shooters. I'm not saying it's a bad game, I just don't like it. Billy O.K. says he can't be seen in public playing games that aren't hardcore. What would people say? And what up, G and Chad is once again talking about wrestling. That's why it's not because they hate the fans. It's more because they have to start from scratch.
Hogwash later.
From a little room in Atlanta, Georgia, Bobby Blackwolf.
We've already lost a listener because he said one of the things in the intro was a non-story. And I'll give you a hint, it wasn't about the Vintage Computer Festival Southeast. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a non-story edition of the Bobby Blackwell Show, where we discuss the current news affecting the video game industry, as well as sometimes reminisce about gaming's history. We're going to do both. We're going to do both of that tonight. Hi there, I'm Bobby Blackwell. If you're joining us live here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com, welcome. Head on over to our chat room, live.VogNetwork.com. I'll be trying to read intelligent comments from chat throughout the night. You can check in if you are there. You can check in. If you're logged into the site, you can check in, get some points and loot, just like Tiger Claw and Dark Titsia. They checked in at some point during the intro of the show. And if you're listening on the podcast feed, there will be a word somewhere in the show that will rudely interrupt the show. You can put that in over the next week and get the exact same amount of love from me. A little bit later on, I am going to be opening up our Skype line and our toll-free number for you to call in. The Skype line is Bobby Blackwell Show, all one word, or toll-free in North America if you still use phones, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or you can comment on this episode at the episode page over at VogNetwork.com, and I might actually read your comment. So, the Vintage Computer Festival Southeast was this past weekend. I got back a couple hours ago, a really long weekend, and I was actually exhibiting for the first time. So this is the first time I've actually pulled out an exhibit. Because I was doing that, I took my camera, and I know I kept saying for months and months, that I was going to take video. This is going to be our next YouTube video. I took maybe about 45 seconds worth of footage of my booth or my little exhibit area, and that was it. Halfway through the day yesterday, I lost my voice. So that kind of was scary because I'm like, ooh, I don't want to have to cancel the show on Sunday night just because I have no voice. So I stopped talking a lot, and I was like, well, I can't narrate a video If I don't have a voice. So this is the Voice of Geeks Network, not the pantomime of Geeks Network. So I didn't shoot a video. I've got B-roll on my table, and that was it. But it was the largest I've ever seen it, both in terms of how many exhibitors were there, as well as how many people were there. Invariably, what probably would have happened is I would have probably shot video today, and everybody would have been like, it's so dead in there. Because it was there are less people that come on Sunday than on Saturday. So, it was very packed. It was very well done, and I enjoyed myself, even though I did have a newer exhibit. And Dungeon Buster says, my PC was in classic 90s yellow. Yes, I posted pictures on my Twitter and my Facebook, and yes, it was the classic yellow. And this is the funny thing. This was the best part. So on Saturday, it turns out the Mechanical Keyboard Meetup Group. So it's all these people, and they like mod mechanical keyboards. They were there. And so when they would come by my thing, that is the only thing they would notice. They would notice that my keyboard, it's a spare keyboard I have that I rarely use. I don't think I've ever really used it recently. I might have used it in college or something, but it works perfectly fine, especially with the computer that it's for. And so it's fully functional, no problem. But over time, it became yellow because of whatever chemicals they used to treat the plastic or whatever. I don't know the reason. And everybody's like, have you considered, like, spending all this time trying to restore it? I'm like, no, because I never use it. Like, if I exhibit next year, that is the next time that keyboard will be used. And Brad says, of course, it was neon yellow. Of course they would see it first. Yeah, but they were the ones who commented on it. And they kind of wouldn't care. Like, they were kind of elitist about it, some of them, where they were like, you know, they wouldn't even get, you know, say, well, I don't care about what you're showing. You're doing keyboard abuse here. And I'm like, it works perfectly. It's functionally perfect. Every key works fine. They don't stick. There's nothing wrong with it. And everybody's like, that's keyboard abuse. I'm like, no, it's not. No, it's not. But most people were fine about it. There were a lot of people, a lot less people tried to play the games. Because what I would do is I'd start like a, if I was running the Roland MT32 stuff. So I had premium sound in the 90s PCs. And if I had the Roland MT32 stuff running, I would kind of leave it on the game. But it's, you know, the there a lot of kids come through and they'll like pick up a controller and like if it's an Atari 2600, play it for like 5 seconds and then put down the controller and go somewhere else. So trying to play like a Sierra text game with a text parser, they weren't really going to sit down and do that. When I ran Monkey Island, that one actually got played for about 5 minutes by somebody. So that was kind of cool, which I know is not a Sierra game. So, damn it. More people were interested in the one Lucasfilm Games game that I had than the Sierra games. And I was a Sierra fanboy. Lucasfilm Games sucked in my view, in my day. Because that's I was that age where it was one or the other. You couldn't have both. So, but I would have that, and then I also was running a lot of the old PC demos in the 90s. And a couple people remembered some of them, and I actually even met somebody who knew somebody that I knew when I was in the demo scene back in the 90s when I was writing music in the demo scene and in tracks was the IRC channel name and stuff. And one of the guys who actually still does a lot of stuff, like trying to preserve the demo scene, this person knew him, and he texted him, and he, you know, so that was kind of cool. Haven't met him, the person, yet in person, but I met a friend of his who came down from Chicago. So the other stuff that was there, there was a lot of neat stuff there and a lot of stuff I've covered before. So there were a lot of the things. If you remember my YouTube video from last year, the person who had all the MSX systems, he brought even more. So he, like, doubled down and stuff. And there was one that was even, like, a robot that was controlled by an MSX program. So that was kind of cool. It's a Japanese PC. That is, and I think it's like the PC Engine was kind of related. I don't know if it was or not, but the MSX is what it was called. He brought like a bunch of different variants of the MSX. There were, you know, several people had Vectrexes. There was an Altair there. All these things work. And most of them, they even like let you touch them. So like there was a typewriter exhibit that showed like all the old typewriters and stuff. And they were like, yes, as long as you only hit one key at a time. Don't jam them, but one key at a time, you can try the typewriters. And wow, I am a slow typer on a typewriter. And lots of Commodore 64, lots of Commodore 128s, a couple Amigas running Amiga demos. And in fact, there was actually a movie. It's called Viva Amiga, and it had a screening there, which is all about the Amiga computer. And it's actually available for – it was a Kickstarter thing, but now it's available for download on like iTunes, YouTube, and Vimeo, or I think he even said it's on Hulu. So if you want a documentary about the Amiga computer, I think it's called Viva Amiga. And you can check that out. Actually, I'm going to do very, very terrible radio, and I'm going to reach over away from the microphone. This is terrible radio because I realized my bag's right next to me, and it's actually got like the URL of this thing. Where is it? Viva Amiga. Yeah, it came out in January. Acclaimed documentary film Viva Amiga is a love letter to the freaks, geeks, and geniuses behind the best damn computer ever made, the Amiga. Now, I disagree. I don't think it was the best computer ever made. But Viva Amiga. I think it's even on Hulu. He said something about it being on Hulu. The director was there. So that was kind of cool. I didn't watch the screening, but now that I know this exists, I will check that out. Tiger Claw asks, were the games running off floppy disks? Many of them, yes. There were a lot of floppy disks, some tape drives, and some people they actually make a thing for the Commodore 64 now that basically interfaces with the disk drive plug that you would plug your 1541 disk drive, except it runs off of an SD card. So basically you put your SD card in there and you select which disk image you want, what D64 file you want, and then it will actually load. You can talk to an actual Commodore 64 with that disk image, because a lot of people's disks have probably demagnetized by now. Tiger Claw asked if they're going to do a sequel called Adios Amiga. I wish I thought of that. I would have asked him that. Dungeon Master S. I wonder if they had any of those CinemaWare games running. They actually, the Amigas that I saw were running like some demos. Like they were actually running the Amiga demo scene where I was doing the PC demos. So, but no, I don't think they were running that many games on them. So I had fun with it. I enjoyed it. It was other than like I showed up and the mouse that I had selected to use, which was an older mouse, worked beautifully at 1 a.m. on Saturday morning, right before I packed everything up to because I had to be down there by 9 a.m. And it wasn't that far from my house. And I got there and it didn't work. And so I brought the computer back home Saturday night and plugged it into my KVM switch that I've got that usually lives, and the mouse driver works. I thought it was the mouse port maybe had bad. And I even like took apart the computer on the table there in my exhibit and tried to see if like it was the port. Nope, it was the mouse. So I actually had to bring the mouse from my regular computer up so we could actually play some games that had the mouse on it. So it was a lot of fun. It's one of those things like. And it was attached to the Computer Museum of America, which has a big Apple pop-up museum. And they're getting a bigger space, so it can be more than just Apple. But I've been through that museum like four times now. So I didn't really – I walked through and I'm like, okay, yeah, it's the exact same exhibits. Cool. But it's great for one-timer. This is like a great event for somebody to come for like maybe 3 or 4 hours. It's not something that's like – unless you're in this hobbyist scene, this is not like a weekend-long event. But if you're in the area and have, 3 to 4 hours to spare next time it comes around next year – I think, and you're into this stuff, it's kind of cool to walk through. It was like $10 to get in. So it's a lot of old stuff that you can touch and play and see. And, it might have been stuff you'd only read about, and you get to see one in person. And it's a lot of fun. Dungeon Buzzer asks, mouse serial port? What voodoo is this? So it was actually, and Tiger Claw even says, or a mouse PS2 port. So it actually was what I've got in this machine. This is old, like, 1998 Pentium 166. It's an actual PS2 mouse port, and it kind of went into the same little area where your expansion card would go in, but it wasn't a card. Because I had thought, because I hadn't taken apart this computer in a while, all I had to do was pop off the case and maybe like push the card in, kind of like a PCI card or whatever. But it's not that. It is actually a PS2 port that then goes into one of the serial interfaces on the motherboard. So the DOS interprets it as a serial mouse, but it's a PS2 mouse. Because I do have a serial card in there that has a 9-pin and a 25-pin connector. So if I'd found one of those mice there, I could have used that. But I use the PS2 one because I have a KVM switch, so I have a PS2 keyboard and a PS2 mouse. And when I say PS2, I don't mean PlayStation 2. I mean PS/2. Which was, it's like a round plug with 6 pins in it or 7 pins or something like that. And that's how we used to hook up keyboards and mice to our computers before the days of USB. So anyway, that's all I will mention about that. I will say that Southern Fried Game Room Expo is June 9th through 11th, and we are sponsoring. We are a headline sponsor this year, rolling in the big, big dough of VOG. All that stuff, all those t-shirts you've been buying from us we haven't sold anything to you guys. So we are sponsoring it, just out of the goodness of our hearts. And, it's, arcades, pinballs, tabletops, some consoles and stuff like that. So, look for SouthernFriedGameRoomExpo.com is their very, very, very long website. And, it's going to be in Marietta, June 9th through 11th, and that is worth coming from out of town from if you are in the region. It is something that you can have a lot of fun all 3 days. SJ1R Matt says, I saved all my floppy disks from my childhood to maybe access someday. I think they mostly have book reports. Well, your book reports are probably gone because those disks do not last. They demagnetize, even if you've kept them in an air-conditioned room or whatever. Chances are they don't work. Or if you can read the files in the directory, the files might actually be corrupted. So hope you didn't really want those book reports. So a couple of game announcements that I want to just touch on very, very briefly. Forza Horizon 3's new expansion is coming out May 9th, and I am excited. Hot Wheels. So it's saying, no, we are not Forza Motorsport. We are not a hardcore simulation racer. We are an arcade racer, and we're going to have Hot Wheels. That is awesome. So I did buy the expansion pass for Forza Horizon 3. The only expansion pass I've ever bought in my life was for Forza Horizon 3. And I'm glad I did. So, well, and Brad says, another expansion, yeesh. Actually, Brad, when Forza Horizon 3 came out, they said, we are going to have two expansion packs. And the expansion pass gets you both of them. This is the second one. So they are basically doing exactly what they told us. They're not releasing like 6 or 7 or 8 expansions. This isn't Oblivion. This isn't Fallout 3. They said we're going to have two expansions, which is pretty normal for a Turn 10 or a Playground Games game, for a Forza game. And this is the second one of two. Tireclaw says, so what are they, little cars that you drive? Are they full-size cars with the Hot Wheels branding? They are Hot Wheels cars on Hot Wheels tracks. So they actually have, so I guess, you know, you could probably think they're miniatures, but they even have the loop-de-loops and all that stuff. So it's basically you're racing Hot Wheels cars on a Hot Wheels track. And then you probably can take those cars and play them in the main game, which they would be normal size. And then another game is coming out for the PS4, and I guess it's like an indie game. Indie company is bringing this back. Night Trap, the old Sega CD classic, Night Trap. The reason I'm kind of bringing this up is it's going to be a digital release, and they're going to actually have a very, very limited physical release, which basically just installs the disc to your the game to your system. But they're releasing it, and because they're releasing it officially and kind of going through, you know, store retail like that, they have to get rated by the ESRB. And the ESRB rating for Night Trap is T, for teen. Why I am bringing that up is because the reason we have the ESRB is because Senator Joseph Lieberman, back in the early 90s, thought that games might need regulation of some sort. And he left it open to see if the gaming industry will regulate itself. And if they wouldn't regulate itself, the government was going to come in and regulate it, like they do in the UK. And the reason he did this was because of two games freaked him out, that how terrible they were and how they were going to kill the family values of America. One was Mortal Kombat. The other was Night Trap. These were the two games that were kind of the centerpiece of why the senator was, saying that, you know, we need to do something about these video games. You know, we can't have them be unrated, and, you know, we got to protect the children. And I just find it funny that one of the two games that was so terrible in the eyes of the people that made the ESRB possible. Because the ESRB is an independent organization. Senator Joseph Lieberman's gone on record saying that he really likes the ESRB and he's very glad that the government doesn't have to step in to do it. Because this industry is able to regulate itself and the government's been pretty happy with that. But Night Trap, one of the ones that was too shocking and why we needed the rating system today, well, we are 25 years later, is only rated T. It's not rated M. It's not rated AO. It's only rated T. And Tiger Claw says it's rated T probably because the content in the game would probably be rated lower for today's standards. Stuff that might have been M-rated would be probably T or something in 2017. And that's kind of what I'm kind of getting at. But also, it was very B-movie. It had a B-movie quality to it, and there's no blood or gore in it. But it was also like people just didn't know what it was. All they saw were the little clips, and it looks like there's a lot of stuff going on that people just filled in the blanks. And unfortunately, the blanks were there, and the game only provided the blanks, and then people who filled in the blanks didn't like how they filled in the blanks, and that's probably more about them. And Dungeon Buster says, what's shocking 20 years ago is pretty typical for today. Progress, whether that's positive progress, is up for debate. And you'll see that a lot in life in general. To register participation for this week's episode of the Bobby Black Wolf Show on VogNetwork.com, use the passphrase competition. So the game that came out this week that I got to play only very little was Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. That was the big game this week. Puyo Puyo Tetris also came out, but unfortunately I have not gotten it yet. But I might get it soon, hopefully. But Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, I've been act deft. Or anybody else. Because I had an Amazon gift card. And I have Prime. So I'm like, why not? I get the Prime discount. I have a gift card. I'm gonna get. I get release day shipping, or I get it on release day. So I ordered it. I ordered it ahead of time. Notice I didn't say the word pre-order. I ordered it ahead of time through Amazon.com. And I live, so I'm in Atlanta, and Atlanta has an Amazon shipping facility, just right in downtown Atlanta, right by Georgia Tech. It's an Amazon fulfillment center, I think is what the official term is. And so I get same day delivery with Prime. I actually am in the Amazon Now. I have actually ordered something from Amazon Now just to see if it would show up, and yes, it showed up at my door two hours later. So I wasn't too worried Thursday night when it said my game had not shipped yet. And I didn't even really worry Friday morning when it hadn't shipped yet. And it said, arriving today by 8 p.m., game not yet shipped. But because I am in the zone where I can get same-day delivery of things. So it didn't bother me. And then like 3 o'clock rolled around, and it hadn't shipped. 5 o'clock rolled around, hadn't shipped. And everybody on Twitter is telling me, no, it's not going to ship. It's not going to ship. But I was holding out hope. I was holding out hope. 6 o'clock rolls around. I'm like, should I just go out and buy it? 6:30 rolls around. Yeah, I'm going to go out and buy it. And I go, and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to cancel my Amazon order. Nope. Can't cancel it. Even though it hadn't shipped yet, it was already in the process of being shipped, so you're screwed. But I wanted to take it with me over the weekend just in case, you know, there was other people playing it and, you know, hey, I wanted to join in. So I went out and I went down to my Best Buy at 7 o'clock at night and they had like 10 copies of it, picked it up, went and paid for it. All good. And as I'm walking back to my car, I get the email from Amazon saying, we're emailing you because you ordered Mario Kart 8, and we're not going to be able to fulfill our obligation on when to send it on when you will receive it. So we're going to give you a $10 gift certificate, and you'll get the game Sunday. So I came home today, and the thing I was worried about is I'm not home to accept or reject it. And so there it was, plainly sitting like the person who delivered it didn't even like have the decency to like lay it down flat. He propped it up against my front door, and I'm up on a hill. So anybody driving by my house would see that I had a little manila envelope on my front door. Thanks, guy. So, I mean, I'm glad it was there when I got here. I went and got it, and I'm probably going to just return it to Amazon. But I haven't really been able to play it all that much. I played a couple cups Friday night, and then I had to pack to come to here. And Fifth Dream says, I have not had anything that I've ever pre-ordered that did not come on release day, but I rarely buy but I rarely buy Nintendo and then only 3DS. So I actually have used their I got my PlayStation VR from Amazon, and boom, it was there, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And I've ordered release day games before, including Nintendo games. In fact, I think Mario Kart 8 for the Wii U I bought on Amazon and got release day delivery. So. This is, and other people had problems with the Nintendo Switch. The exact same thing happened when people bought the Nintendo Switch. It just happened to me on Mario Kart. So lesson learned. Brad from Pod Culture says something that I actually did think about. If it is the same SKU, just take it back to Best Buy. And I thought about that. And the problem is I have a morality filter in my head, which some people, some people can shut off more than me. And Best Buy was there when I needed them. Amazon screwed up. So why should I deny Best Buy my money when they were the ones that did the right thing? Why shouldn't I send a message to Amazon by getting my money back from Amazon? Because if I don't do that, Amazon will be like, see, he was okay with it. But if I return it and make Amazon refund me the money, then maybe, it'll be just another statistic. But maybe if enough people do that and say, well, I'm returning it because you didn't have it for me on Friday, so I went to a brick and mortar store and bought it. So you're right. I technically could, because I'm pretty sure it is the same SKU. I could take it back. I've got my receipt from Best Buy and say, yeah, I never opened it here. Can I get my money back? But I'd rather make Amazon go through that. Because of what they did, even though I paid more at Best Buy for it than I did at Amazon. So the story I wanted to talk about tonight is about a story that some people were saying was a non-story, but I think it's a story, and I'm going to explain why. It's about Nintendo, and it's not about the NES Classic or the SNES Classic. It's actually about a system that is actually coming out and not rumors and sources, and it's the Nintendo 2DS XL. So the Nintendo 3DS family of systems will soon be adding a new member. On July 28th, the Nintendo 2DS XL makes its debut in the United States at a suggested retail price of $149.99. The new Nintendo 2DS XL system gives consumers a third choice of handheld systems, one that offers pricing and features that fit between the 2DS and the new Nintendo 3DS XL systems. This new 2DS XL, which it is the new Nintendo 2DS XL, not just the Nintendo 2DS XL, even though they're never, I don't know. It will launch on the same day as two big games for the Nintendo 3DS family of systems, Hey Pikmin and Miitopia. Reggie Fils-Aimé, Nintendo of America's president and COO, says, quote, "This new addition to Nintendo's portable hardware line demonstrates our commitment to the handheld market. New Nintendo 2DS XL sports a beautiful clamshell design and offers a great balance between price and performance," unquote. It also comes with an AC adapter. I just want to throw that out there. It comes with an AC adapter, which the new Nintendo 3DS XL does not. But you get an AC adapter with the new Nintendo 2DS XL. Wanted to throw that out there. So there's a couple things that this shows about what Nintendo is doing. A, the Switch, they are not going 100% all in on the Switch, which is something I thought they would do. Where, you know, they would basically say, we have one handheld system and one console, and oh, surprise, it's the same thing. They're not going that way. They're still going to be. They're still putting games on the 2DS, 3DS, or whatever. I don't even know what to call it now, and you'll know why in the next point I make. But they're still putting games on it. They're still releasing new systems. They're using some of their limited resources to do this. So even though the Switch has been selling like hotcakes, they are not abandoning the actual handheld market instead of just the tablet handheld market. So that's one thing interesting. The other thing is they're finally trying to kill 3D gaming. The reason I have a problem with saying the 3DS line, because if you notice, a lot of the new first-party games that come out on the 3DS don't actually use the 3D. They shut off the, like, you can't even, like, it's a 2D game. It shut off the slider, the little 3D light's not on, so they don't use it. I think that this is going to be the new mainstay, and they're going to basically kind of phase out the 3DS line, and it's just going to be a 2DS. And a lot of people, in chat especially, are going to say I never used the 3D anyway. And that's totally valid, because you know what? I don't use the 3D all that much. So I totally get their point. But I will be sad to see it go. And I'm hanging on to my 3DS. I don't even have a 3DS XL, or much less a new 3DS or whatever. But you've probably, if you've listened to the show for a long time, you've heard me talk about this multiple times. I am, the term is called stereo blind. What that means is I do not see in 3D. I do not have the depth perception that other people have. The best way I can describe it is that when you look at something, you can, if you have normal vision, which I'm assuming most of you are not stereo blind, so you can perceive the volume of air that is that are between two objects. If you can see, you know, like if it's like a candle jutting out from a wall, you can perceive how much volume of the air is between the candle and the wall. You can inherently do that. I cannot. It is kind of akin to if you're watching on TV. If you watch something on TV, yes, you can tell that something is behind something else, but you don't really know how far away it is. But in real life, you do actually have that depth perception. Or if you like cover one eye, you lose that part of the depth perception, but you can use other cues. I am stereo blind. But the first time I ever experienced this perceiving of the volume of air was with the 3DS. The only places I can actually see a stereo image are the 3DS and inside VR. Oculus Rift, HTC Vive, Gear VR. I can perceive 3D in all of those. I don't know why. I think it's because it's actually aiming the image right where my eye needs to see it, because I had eye surgery as a kid. So my eyes are not facing the same way. So if I only look out of one eye at a time, I can just switch which eye I'd look out of. So it'll be kind of sad to see the 3DS go, because it's one of the two ways I can actually see things in 3D. But at least I still have VR, and that's not going away anytime soon, no matter how much people call it a gimmick. Brad from PodCulture says, what game requires the 3D, 3D only? None. There's no game that requires the 3D. There are games that use the 3D effect. I think what the Link Between Worlds, that Zelda game, did a lot with the 3D effect, because you would go upstairs and downstairs. And you would kind of need the 3D effect on to be able to easily tell what was upstairs and what was downstairs. So that's kind of why I'm like, oh, it's going to be a shame that the 3DS is going away. But I understand why they're doing it. Most people turn the 3D off anyway. Nintendo's own games, I think the Pokemon games, aren't even in 3D at all. Blaster Master Zero is not in 3D. None of their remasters are in 3D. So they're kind of not supporting the 3D side anyway. So it makes sense for them. You know, they don't have to pay. It's cheaper to make a 2DS because there's no lenticular screen in it. Thank you, Nintendo, for letting me see 3D and stuff. So we're going to take a quick music break, and then we will come back and take your calls about probably Mario Kart or something else. I don't know. You call and let me know. You're participating with the Bobby Blackwell Show here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogNetwork.com.
Hey, it's your friendly neighborhood Mexican, Act Deaf, and you're participating in the Bobby Blackwell Show. Whether he's right or wrong, his opinion is always something worth listening to. Except for the music breaks. Those sometimes suck.
I feel bad. There's like a paper. There's a wrestling thing going on, so he's not here to enjoy his bumper. If you want to leave a bumper, you don't have to talk about my music break sucking, because they don't. But you can leave a voicemail with just your voice to our toll-free number, not Skype. Skype doesn't send me voicemails for whatever. But the toll-free number, 1-888-36-GAME-1. Or the easier way is just make an MP3 with just your voice and email it to me, bumpers@bobbyblackwolf.com. Everybody in chat was talking about how 3D is a gimmick. It's always a gimmick. It's always ever will be a gimmick. And the last thing I'll say about it was a gimmick that allowed me to see like the rest of you guys. So sure, even if it was a gimmick, gamers called it a gimmick and basically it became true, self-fulfilling prophecy. It was a gimmick that allowed me to see. So I'm thankful for that. And I personally will never call it a gimmick, but others will. We already have a call. So I didn't even get a chance to read the numbers, but let's go ahead and take the call. Bobby Blackwolf Show, you are on the air. Who is this?
Hey, what's up, Bobby? This is Taijudo.
Taijudo, what's up, man?
Hi, man. I just want to commiserate with you on the 3DS.
Yes.
I've been supporting it since day one. Mm-hmm. I thought it was amazing. For the longest time, there's been a stigma with 3D. Like, people have always been complaining about 3D, even when, like, 3D was in the movies, when we had, like, the red and blue glasses.
Yeah.
You know, and part of that, I think, is just because of, you know, it's movie's fault, because they didn't really know how to – damn, I have to police. Anyway, yeah. they didn't know how to innovate the technology. They just kept, like, doing movies where they were just throwing stuff at you, mm-hmm. you know, and that became, like, really gimmicky.
Yeah.
And I think ever since then, like, 3D has just had this stigma with it, and it just annoys the heck out of me, because I'm like, there's so much that can be done with it. I mean, I can't see the full potential in it myself, because, you know, I'm not, like – that innovative of a person, but right. I'm willing to take the ride and see where they can go with it. Because I can remember, this has nothing to do with the 3DS, but I can remember seeing Nightmare on Elm Street, Freddy's Dead. I saw that in 3D in the movie theater. And there was this one scene that I swear looked like I was looking at a Broadway play. I was like, well, if they really want to innovate 3D, they can do this and have it, you know, almost like a virtual reality thing where it looks like you're looking up on a stage at people, or the hologram type thing. I saw that way back in the 90s with Freddy's Dead. So, I mean, the innovation is there. There's a lot they could have done with it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I know. I mean, for me personally, like, the 3D movies didn't work. shutter red, blue, red, green glasses didn't work. I saw either all red or all green, just the way my eyes were. Or and it, like the shutter glasses didn't work. My dad had a 3D TV. That's how I got all those 3D Blu-rays that you've called about a couple times.
Yeah.
You know, so the shutter glasses didn't work. The movies, like, because I went to some I saw Avatar in the movie theater in 3D, and it was a darker 2D. So I just, I think that that's kind of what it is. But also VR had that stigma. So, you know, and it took VR a couple of tries and a couple of decades before people actually took it seriously. So maybe we just got to wait a decade or so for 3D stuff to happen, or it'll just be immersed in with VR, because VR is also 3D.
I think VR still has a little bit of a stigma, because if you're not familiar yet, there's a big game coming out, I think early June, Tekken 7. I just became aware of this myself, and Tekken 7 is going to have a VR mode only for PlayStation VR. And people are, like, losing their mind. They're like, oh, you know, this is a gimmick. It's going to be stupid. Like, they swear that they think you're going to be, like, in first-person fighting, which I think is also stupid, because I think they had that in Tekken 3. I know I had a fighting game where they actually did that, where they let you fight in first-person, and it was, like, horrible.
Might have been, like, Virtual Fighter or something like that.
Yeah, probably. But, you know, the developer of Tekken said he's not doing that. Like, he's still trying to keep it a secret, but from what I can understand from what he's saying is, like, it's almost going to be like you're going to use the VR as almost like to look at the character models. Like, I guess the character models are going to be so good and so special that they're going to want you to, like, you know, look at them in 360 degrees, look under them, you know, look at the palms of their hands, that type of thing. And that's all the VR is going to be. But you have people that are, you know, screaming that, oh, you know, like, they're, you know, Tekken is going to become gimmicky. And this is a gimmick, and how are you going to fight in first person? I'm just like,
no.
Give it a chance. Just give the technology a chance and see where it goes. You know, that's what you got to do.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yep, with but you there. I didn't know about that Tekken thing, so that's news to me. I might actually buy a Tekken game for the first time in like 20 years.
Yeah, me too. I'm like, I'm actually going to pre-order it so I can get
the last Tekken game I bought was Tekken Tag Tournament, because it was a PS2 launch title.
Yeah, I actually got that game on my 360, and I got it for free. So it's a pretty good game. But real quickly before I leave, I just want to get back to the 3DS real quickly. I just wanted to mention the other really cool thing about the 3D, especially the new 3DS, is that, like, the 3D really pops out at you. I remember, like, one of the other reasons why people were complaining about the 3DS is because you needed that sweet spot where you had to, like, pretty much stare forward and not move around too much, or you lose the 3D effect. That has totally been taken away in the new 3DS. I keep saying that over and over again. Yeah. I think SS was a 100.
Yeah,
what's his name again?
He
has it, but he said he hasn't, like, really used the 3D. Mm-hmm. But I've been looking for somebody to confirm what I'm saying, because, I mean, the new 3DS, they really upped the
3D. Okay, so what the new 3DS does is it follows your eyes.
Right.
So it's actually using the cameras to follow your eyes. So when you move, it rearranges the lenticular to follow your eyes. That's what the new 3DS does.
Yep. Yeah, it's amazing, man. I always tell the same story about I'm playing Smash Brothers, and one of the levels that I'm playing, I guess they have like little leaves or little pieces of dirt flying around. Mm-hmm. And I swear I was like about to swat. I thought it was a little baby fly. Flying around my 3DS. That's how good it was and how it tricked me, you know. And I'm just like, well, this is really great. So it'll just be really sad that if they discontinue it, but I'm going to try to get one more 3DS before, you know, just in case that they do discontinue it. But I have like no real interest in 2DS unless it's like a more powerful system or something.
I don't know, but I mean, I might have to do that too, because I unfortunately I think that's where this is going, is that they're going to discontinue the 3DS line and really push the 2DS.
Yeah, I'm probably gonna be. I'm gonna do one of the collector type things and just like keep it in the box, because I already have 3DS, but like I dropped it like maybe once or twice, and that always makes me nervous when I drop my stuff. So I just want to have one just there, just in case the other ones conk out or whatever, something doesn't work. But But thanks for taking my call.
No
great
problem.
Show as always.
Yep. Thanks for calling in.
Right. No problem.
Bobby Blackwell Show on Skype, 1-888-36-GAME-1, toll-free in North America. You can call in and commiserate about 3D, or tell me why 3D was terrible and why we should not be putting it in our games anymore. One of those two. Doesn't matter. And some people are talking about, you know, how they love 3D movies, and others are like, I don't see the point in the cost of them, which 3D movies, like, because now I can watch 3D movies. Like, this is kind of a new thing for me, because the PlayStation VR plays 3D movies now. You can put in a 3D Blu-ray, and it plays it for you in VR. And because I can see 3D in VR, I can actually watch these 3D movies, and they actually have the 3D effects. Where I went into and saw Avatar in 3D in the theater, and it was a darker 2D. Well, I watched Avatar, a little bit of Avatar, I didn't watch the whole thing, in PlayStation VR, and I actually saw I was actually able to perceive how much volume of air was between the sleeping pod that he was in the back, and you know, when the guy went up to him and stuff. So I was able to see all that stuff, and I didn't get that in the movie theater. I didn't see it. So like, it's kind of weird for me. It's like, now, like, do I want to buy 3D Blu-rays? Or, you know, do I just, you know, say, okay, that was kind of cool, but, you know, so I don't know. It's kind of interesting for me, because like, I didn't care about them because I could never see them, and now I can see them. I'm like, I'm kind of now in that phase where people who are like, oh, 3D is going to be the next big thing. I'm there now. And everybody else in the world was there like 6 or 7 years ago, and I'm there now. And yeah, and kind of like, ooh, I should buy everything in 3D. Brad from Bot Culture says, the 3D ones usually come with a 2D version, so get them if you like it. And it's more like, do I want to spend the extra $10 to get that 3D version? I don't normally buy movies, too. That's the other problem, is that I don't normally buy Blu-rays unless I'm going to watch something over and over and over again. So it's very rare for me to buy a movie anyway. And then it's like, do I want to spend an extra $10 on the movie at that point? So nobody else is going to be calling in tonight, but guess what? We actually do get to talk with the show that comes on after us. Orange Lounge Radio comes up next year on the Voice Geeks Network. Three people out in Sacramento, California, talk about games for much longer than I do. They have a big show tonight because they haven't been around for a while, so we miss them. Sacramento, are you guys there?
We're here, Bobby. How are you?
I'm good. I almost forgot how I greeted you guys. It's been so long since we talked.
I know. It's good to be back. I apologize for last week, but, you know, things happen.
But hey, I had computer problems and started 20 minutes late, so I went 20 minutes over and didn't have anybody in the oil army upset at me.
There you go. Sometimes things work out.
But everything's on time tonight. We're on schedule because you guys have a big show tonight.
We do. It's busy. We have a lot to catch up on. Honestly, there's so much news from this week. I don't even think we're going to end up touching anything from last week. We have a guest on tonight. If you guys haven't heard, Zircon's going to be here. The man's had a huge career in video game, not just music creation now, but game creation. Just funded Tangle Deep on Kickstarter. So we're going to talk a little bit about the music, a little bit about the game as well. But, you know, those of you guys that have been around on OC Remix for heck as long as these shows have been around, you and I, Bobby, I think you're going to get a kick out of hearing Zircon on our show tonight.
Yeah, or if you've backed any of the video games live stuff, and he's got stuff on the bonus round discs that are Kickstarter backer stuff.
Yep. He shows up many, many places when it comes to game music. So, and now on OLR tonight.
Are you sure he's not one of the enemies of the Power Rangers?
I'm fairly confident. Okay. Yes, I didn't have Shane screen him or anything, okay. But we're taking a leap of faith.
I will say this: Zordon was a good guy, and the only name that comes close to that would be Zarkon from Voltron.
Wrong show.
Thanks, Kaijudo. You made me sound dumb. Yes, I'm going to blame chat on that.
Yes, please do.
What's been going on for the past 2 weeks?
There's been a lot of Switch titles that have come out, you know, which is pretty exciting. I know you were talking about Mario Kart 8, despite the fact that you had the Amazon issues, which stinks. I've been hearing a lot of that. You're not the only one. Amazon's slipping. I kind of need to come out and address this issue, I think. But anyway, I'll leave it there. I also did the Amazon thing. I didn't have any problems, so I guess I can't complain too much, but I just feel bad for my friends that I wanted to race against. But I also picked up Puyo Puyo Tetris, which is, you know, a lot of fun. That game was already out on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One and certainly was out overseas, so I don't think it's a lot of new information for people, but I think it's cool now that it's on the Switch format, having the whole, like, the fact that I can play it on TV but then pick it up and play around a Tetris or whatever before bed. I think it's really cool. I don't know if you play Wonder Boy, the Dragon's Trap yet. Phenomenal remake. Phenomenal remake.
Did you know it has the FM music in it?
Oh, wow. It's like all the original stuff, but it can't really be the original stuff because it's widescreen now. So well, they had to have gone back and like touched up the original.
Is. Yeah. But the music that they have, you have two classic music modes, and one of them is the FM. Now, here's the thing that Dan was telling me. The FM music, even if you had like an aftermarket FM converter, you still can't play it on a US master system, even with a converter, because the FM was hardwired into the system and the cartridge looks for it. Wow. So we had no way in the US without a Japanese master system to hear the FM sound.
So, yeah, if you guys haven't checked it out, I mean, seriously, like, one of the best, like, reimagining things I've played, honestly. Just the fact that, you know, the one button switches between the you know, newer mode and the old mode, and that they both, like, play so seamlessly is really quite an accomplishment. I can only imagine if something like, you know, because for the most part, Wonder Boy is, I hate to say this, a lot of you are going to get mad when I say this, but let's be real, Wonder Boy was a little more underground, I think, for some of us, like, because it was the Sega side, and Sega on 8-bit was not as prevalent as Nintendo was in our childhood. That's not to knock Sega. I know y'all love Sega, but it's just, you know, it didn't
sell. It just wasn't. Not here.
It wasn't. So can you imagine, though, if Nintendo did something like this with, like, oh, I don't know, Super Mario World or something that's due for a, like, treatment, like, it would just, like, heads would explode. It would be, but I just, why would they do that when they could just sell the original for $10 on Virtual Console?
Though, I will say, if you're comparing 8-bit to 8-bit and you did Super Mario Brothers or even I'd say that Mario 2 would be more on par with Wonder Boy 3.
Yeah, well, Wonder Boy 3, too, is amazing.
And having Wonder Girl mode.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's cool, too. But yeah. Just Wonder Boy itself is a candidate for a remake, Wonder Boy 3 specifically, as a candidate for a remake. I mean, that was an incredibly complex 8-bit game. I mean, that really pushed the limits of what 8-bit could do.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, that's why I think that was the candidate for reimagining. But anyway, it's just the bar has been set for these reimaginings with this. Yeah. So,
and I like that it actually looked like you were watching something fully animated.
Yeah.
Because it was so smooth. It was just so smooth.
Yeah, Bobby, if you haven't checked it out yourself yet, I would definitely at least look at a YouTube, a Twitch, so you can kind of get a sense of what the game looks like.
And the extra modes.
But I would recommend it.
Cool. Yeah, I do actually have a Switch story from this weekend, which I just remember when you were talking about it, because you were talking about like the pick up and go, especially like of the like Puyo Puyo Tetris. Because I took my Switch with me to the Vintage Computer Festival, so all these old computers, and I walked by at about 4 o'clock today, and it ended at 5. And there was a guy, and basically there was a Atari 2600 on one table, and on the next table over was a TI-99A. And they were playing Othello against each other. So they were, you know, like, so it was basically like one player versus the computer, except they actually had it set up to where it was basically the TI-99A and the Atari 2600 playing each other in Othello. So I walk back and get my Switch and say, I got winner. And and the Atari 2600 won. It won. So I put my Switch right next to the TV there, loaded up Othello, and whooped the Atari 2600's ass like 46-16.
Congratulations. That's hilarious. I that show sounds like a lot of fun. I mean, I know you said it's not really something you would camp at all weekend. It's more of a, you know, visit thing. I wonder if they do anything like that here in they've got to have something like it in California.
The vintage
party.
Oh, yeah, of course, Atari party.
Well, there's that, and also the Vintage Computer Festival is a national organization. There is like the national the vintage, and they all like happen in this time frame. Like I think there were like three in a row. Vintage Computer Festival East was in New Jersey a couple weeks ago. Vintage Computer Festival Northwest was in Chicago. So I don't know off the top of my head if there's a Vintage Computer Festival West, but if there isn't, I'm surprised.
Gotta be. In Silicon Valley, there's gotta be. But I will say real quick, the only reason I didn't think of Atari Party at first is because when I think of retro computers, my mind goes to Commodore. And so, you know, but I obviously Atari Party has a smittering of really everything.
Yeah. Atari events. ST, the Atari 800.
They do adjacents too, you know, it happens. And then, of course, we have California Extreme, but that's a little more like your Southern Fried Game Expo.
It's more arcade.
I think I've heard Southern Fried Game Expo is kind of modeled off California Extreme, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is.
So, I mean, I can only imagine it's a fun event too. Hopefully I get to California Extreme this year. I say that every year, but it's just always on a bad weekend.
Yeah. So cool. So what else are you guys going to be, other than Zircon being there, what else are you going to be talking about tonight?
Well, isn't that enough? I mean...
Actually, it is. To me, it is.
having an interview, I think, of that caliber is going to be enough. But we will talk a little bit about news as well. We want to give our own perspective on the 2DS, of course. We want to talk a little bit about...
history.
Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about history in the new Call of Duty game, of all things.
Yes.
We'll talk a little bit about that.
Zombies.
Some Persona 5 streaming updates, I think, that just came up in the past week. Although
yes.
you might... I feel like you might have referenced him on your show Sunday, but we'll talk a little bit about that as well.
Actually, and, no, it was in my show role for tonight, and I cut it for time.
Yeah. And somebody's finally going to jail over malware. But before you let me go, can I do one other quick announce?
Absolutely.
Because we've been teasing something for a couple weeks here, and I just want to make it at least one of them official tonight.
Perfect.
I've only got the go-ahead on one of the shows, but I do want to announce a new partner coming onto Vogue Network. You guys excited?
I'm excited.
So we have a brand new show coming to Vogue Network, and we're actually going to be getting the premieres of this show. It's a little different because it's going to be a limited run show. It's not, and when I tell you what it is, you're going to understand why it's limited run, because there's a very definitive beginning and end to this. But we are pleased to welcome to the Voice Geeks Network, and it's going to start airing, I think, this week. It might be next, but I think this week on Fridays, and I think the time is going to be noon Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, but I just have to make sure that is all dotted and signed on. So please stay tuned to VogueNetwork.com. for all the updates. But the new show is, drumroll please, from the creators of British Invaders, or one of the creators of British Invaders, they're going to be bringing us a series called Hooked on Bond. And it's all about James Bond. And you can actually check out the website right now. It's a very bare bones website, but it's enough to get the show up there. HookedOnBond.com is up and running. And you can check out episode 0, where they're going to talk about the concept for the show. And then we'll have episode 1 for you very soon. And if you miss it live on the feed, we will, of course, be syndicating, like we do for all the shows, the MP3s, so you can revisit all of the Bond movies from start to finish. So, yeah, really excited to welcome Brian and his team over there. We're going to be talking about Bond.
And they've been working on this for, like, 2 years.
It's been a long time. We talked about it at Dragon Con, I think, the year before last.
Yeah.
And so it's finally here. Very excited about that. So we want to welcome again Hooked on Bond to Network. I also just want to give a quick congrats. I know we're getting to time here, but Critical Myth hit 800 episodes this week. That's a really – I mean, I know they're 3 times a week, so they can kind of hit the higher numbers a little faster, but still 800, that's a huge accomplishment.
Yes.
So we just have a lot of, like, old folks shows.
We're vintage.
I don't mean the people. I don't mean the people. I
Pardon
mean the
me.
Shows.
Pardon me, I would look at Daniel Craig's eyes for like 5 hours.
I don't mean the content or anything. I just mean these shows. I mean, we are very fortunate to have some shows that have some real sticking power that are around for a long, long time. Sometimes there's a misfire or two, Pokestop Podcast. But, you know, for the most part, the shows have been around a very long time.
I'm excited.
Me too.
All right. Orange Lounge Radio is up next. I'm hooked on Orange Lounge Radio.
We're Thanks. Hooked on you, Bobby Blackwell.
Aww. Thanks so much, guys.
I'm Phonics.
All right. Bye, Bobby.
It's worked for me. So that is it for me. I will be back next Sunday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, right here on the Voice of Geeks Network at VogueNetwork.com. Catch us live and interact with us directly. You can leave me a voicemail on any topic or leave a bumper if you're seeing the show, which is toll-free number 1-888-36-GAME-1. You can email me an MP3 to bumpers@BobbyBlackWolf.com. Facebook.com/BobbyBlackWolf and Twitter @BobbyBlackWolf is where I am on social media. I was posting pictures from the Computer Festival all weekend on both of those places. You can also submit feedback on the episode pages here at VogueNetwork.com. Hey, if you like the show, tell a friend. If you hate the show, tell an enemy. I don't care. Just tell someone. The show is not for everybody, but it may be for somebody who does not know about it yet. But I could not make the live show work without the help of the chatters. So thank you very much, Dark Sakura, Dark Tetsuya, DC Nate, Hecht, Rob Roberts, Bird, Doom Plague, Fifth Dream, Havoc978, JD, Tiger Claw, Loki, Alan Alchemy, Bacon Bits, Bull, Brad from Pod Culture, Breakman, Come On, Cupid Boy, Dungeon Buster, Eric RPG, Fantaz, Fluke, Hitstun, Ice P, Kaijudo, Kazan, Misty, MXT, Orange Wright, Raginator, Ronma, Sean 8BitX, Spiffy, SJ100 Matt, Zeba, and Zeta. So I am out, and I'm actually going to try to play some Mario Kart 8 now that I'm not packing for a computer show, and I can go back to playing recent stuff, and I'm going to go lose in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Bye.
A winner is you. The views and opinions expressed are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and are not necessarily the opinions of
the Vogue Network, people who need to hire new voiceover guys,
or your mom. Although if Bobby said it, it really should be. This has been a production of Bobby Blackwolf Studios.